you. Okay, Mark, I'm ready now. Well, Mark has kind of stolen my introduction, really, because I was going to tell you that when Mark asked me to speak, he said that he would send me an email with the title, and I'm just glad I was at home when he told me the title, because the title was this: The Justification of the Sinner Through Faith Alone in Jesus Christ Alone by Grace Alone. I said to myself, in half an hour? This major doctrine of the church in half an hour. It condenses into one sentence a doctrine which not only distinguishes Christianity from every other faith in the world, but as Mark said, it's one of the most divisive doctrines of the Bible, really, because it divides not only people who aren't Christians, but it divides Christians as well. And I was thinking about this when I was preparing, and I was wondering why it is so divisive. And I decided that it's because it reveals who we are as human beings. First of all, it reveals to us that we're sinful. Secondly, it reveals to us that we're powerless to do anything about it. And thirdly, it makes us totally dependent upon God. And we don't like that. As human beings, we don't like that kind of message that says, you're sinful, there's nothing you can do about it, so depend on me. And many other religions believe that they can work their way to a kind of eternal destiny, an eternal kind of delightful destiny. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, they all believe that salvation comes by man's works, by good works that men can do on their own. That they can kind of have almost like a stairway, and the more good works you do, the higher up you get. And you know, as Christians, we easily fall into that trap. Many, many Christians fall into that trap of believing that we can be saved by all the good works that we do. Our lives should demonstrate the love of God through good works. But we're not saved by them. That's crucial. If you're going to understand anything of this sentence in Shiloh's statement of faith, it is crucial that you understand that, that we understand that. In the letter of James, he writes that faith without deeds is dead. Now that's true, because our lives, as Mark said earlier, as we move from our salvation into living life, then our lives should reflect the love of God. And that's what James is talking about, that those good deeds that he talks about will reflect the changes that's happened in us and the love that God has for us. We are not saved through our good deeds. And James doesn't say that. But it's interesting how quickly we fall into, the more good deeds I do, the more God will love me. The more good deeds I do, the less sinful I am. Unfortunately, that's not true. I'm going to read, those of you who've got Bibles, you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read, I'm kind of jump around in the chapter. I'd love to read the whole thing, but I realise that's going to take too much time this morning. I'm going to actually start in verse 25 of chapter 4. Because, of course, when Paul wrote this, he didn't write it in chapters. Okay, I'm going to say this. It starts with he, and that's the Lord Jesus. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I'm going down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And then just down to verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, that's Adam, the many were made sinners, also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Remember that, okay? Remember that passage, and we will come back to it. Many of you will remember that a couple of weeks ago, Tati referred to a man called Martin Luther. He was a Catholic monk who lived in the 16th century, and he wrote against this Catholic belief that you could earn your salvation, or you could even buy your salvation if you paid enough money to the Protestant Church through the Catholic Church through indulgences, they were called. You could pay money and you could regain somebody from hell. They could come up from hell and go to heaven. It's a load of rubbish. God revealed to Martin Luther the nature of justification by grace. He basically put his life on the line by declaring this to be truth, that God is the one who justifies. And the phrase sola fide, which means faith alone, became kind of like the cry of the Protestant Church, because he was thrown out of the Catholic Church. And as a result of that, the Protestant Church began. And he actually said of this doctrine that the church stands or falls on the doctrine of justification through faith by grace. It is an incredible doctrine. And this morning you'll be glad to know I am only doing the introduction. I'm going to leave the rest to Tati. And the crazy thing is, as I was trying to kind of think about how I could actually do this in a short time, but how I could just almost give you a little taste of each thing in the sentence, so that when you come, it's sort of a bit like having a taster, you know, for a meal. So you have a little taste, and then you think, oh, actually, I quite like that. Yeah, I'll have that for my main course next time I come. You know, it's like having a little taster of each of these things, and having some kind of desire to search for it yourself, because that is the key to justification. You have to come to that place yourself where you understand your position before God. So to understand this statement, this sentence in Shiloh's statement of faith, we have to understand the words. It's sort of obvious, isn't it, really? But before we go into the actual words themselves, I'm going to give you a little background from Scripture so that we all start off in the same place. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. The first one comes from Psalm 51. Now, those of you who know Psalms will know that that is the psalm which David wrote after his sin of adultery and an arranged murder. Okay, David was confronted by his sin. He tried to hide it. The Lord would not let him get away with it. And a prophet went to him and said to him, "You are the person who've done these things." David knew his God, and he wrote this psalm as a result of that. And he said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. David didn't hide his sin. He confessed his sin. And he understood something which many of us don't understand. And that is that he had sinned against God. We could look at his position and think, well, you know, he sinned also against the people involved. Yes, he did. But ultimately, all sin is against God. He says, against you, you only have I sinned. And that is why it is necessary for us to understand the nature of sin. It's not just doing something bad. It's not just disobedience. You know, sometimes I don't think, I know I do not understand the true nature of sin. And it's not that I haven't done bad things, because I have. It's that we don't realise the difference it makes in our relationship with the Lord. We don't realise that sin separates us from God. And later on in the psalm, David pleads with the Lord not to take his Holy Spirit away from him, because he understood that God could not dwell where there is sin. And then in Romans 3 in verse 23, just in case any of you are thinking, well, I haven't murdered anyone, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't done any of those things. Paul writes this: all have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short, every single one of us. One of the meanings of the word sin is to miss the mark. We have all missed the mark, every single one of us. I used to teach when I was in Basingstoke. I taught in a Christian school there, and one of the things that I was concerned about in the Christian school was that some of the children, I think, thought they were very special, and of course they were. All children are special. But I don't think some of them truly understood that they were also sinners. And I was always known as this kind of teacher who threw things out, you know, to cause a bit of trouble. It did get me into trouble at times, but it was fun. To actually see the children just recoil sometimes when you spoke the truth to them. And I had one class, and they were a great class, actually. They were great kids. And I said to them one day, I said, the trouble with you lot is you don't know you are just dirty, rotten sinners. And as the words came out my mouth, I saw parents' letters flooding in. I didn't get any. But, you know, it was interesting, the conversation, the discussion that came out of that. Because so often, as people, we don't understand sin. We don't understand that sin separates us from God. It separates us from him. In Romans 5, Paul said, I don't know if you picked this up, we were God's enemies. Okay? God's enemies. We deserved judgment and condemnation. We deserved death because of our sin. Okay, that's the background to this statement. Okay, this statement in Shiloh's statement of faith. So we're going to go on to the words now. Ha ha. Here we go. The first stage of my, this is one I prepared earlier, one thing. Okay. Oops, sorry, Mark. Justification. What's the meaning of justification? Okay, the Greek for meaning of justification is to declare righteous. And then I've got a couple of quotes there from some theologians. And the first one reads, "The sinner is declared to be free from guilt and the consequences of sin." And then a quote there from Calvin. He says that justification is the acceptance with which God receives us into his favour as righteous. Isn't that amazing? After everything I've just said about sin. Okay, it is amazing. But let's look at scripture. Okay, in the Old Testament, God gave his people a way to be able to approach him, to be right in his eyes. This was before Jesus came to the earth. And the sacrifices which God gave to them enabled them to receive God's forgiveness. You see, it was grace from the very, very beginning. It was grace. And in Leviticus 4, we read there about the sin offerings that you could make for different situations. And as each situation is explained, the final verse will read, "In this way, the priest will make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven." Forgiven. It doesn't say they were declared righteous. It says they will be forgiven. But in the New Testament, you see, God goes further. In the Old Testament, the priest would present the sacrifice and the person would be forgiven. But in the New Testament, God goes further. He justifies the sinner. He not only forgives, but he declares him righteous. So often we forget that bit of our salvation. Okay? He declares us righteous. Not just, sometimes I've heard justified, the meaning of justified as being just as if I'd never sinned. Well, it is, but it's actually more than that. It's being declared righteous before God. Isn't that amazing? It's totally amazing. But how? How can that be? How can God do that when we know he is holy, he is righteous, and the gap between us is huge? How can he do that? The second part of the chart. It is through faith alone in Jesus. Okay, what is faith? All right, faith, certain of what we do not see, Hebrew tells us. When we look around at ourselves, do we think each other righteous? I look at myself, I don't think myself as righteous. I don't see it. And the amazing thing is, God does. God does see us as righteous. Julie prayed it this morning. When you see us, you see Jesus. You see, let's see what the Old Testament says. The meaning of the Hebrew word is utter confidence in the faithfulness of God and a constant loving obedience to his will. That's what the Old Testament means by faith. Okay, sorry, I said meaning earlier. It's not the meaning, it's the kind of concept of faith in the Old Testament, an utter confidence in the faithfulness of God. Because they had to, in order to believe that he had forgiven them, they had to believe that he was faithful to his word and obedience to his will. That's the law. Okay? Now let's look at this one. They can't see this one very well because it's the book's in the way. He says, this is... faith in the New Testament. Faith is trust in the person of Jesus, the truth of his teaching, and the redemptive work he accomplished at Calvary. It includes a radical and total commitment to him as the Lord of one's life. Okay, faith is in Jesus alone. When we have faith in Jesus, we must also believe in his redemptive sacrifice, in the death which he died, that we might be forgiven. That my sin, our sin, was placed upon him who had no sin. That is part of our faith. If we have faith in Jesus, we must believe that he was God's redemptive sacrifice. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's in Jesus. Every time it's in Jesus. How could God see us as righteous? Because we are in Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was so that his righteousness through the grace of God might be given to us. Okay, because the resurrection of Jesus from the dead showed he was not sinful. Death could not hold him because he was sinless. The death he died for us who are sinners, that he might take that punishment and that guilt and that sin upon himself, so that we might have his righteousness. I have one small other small thing in my bag. No, I don't. I forgot to bring it. Never mind. Some of you may remember for a long time ago, we here in Shiloh did one of the weeks of evangelism, and it was called Simply Jesus. And we Mark and the leaders had little cards printed up with a flower on the front, and it just said Simply Jesus on it. I've still got one of those, and I have it in my kitchen by my kettle, so that every morning when I get up, because I have to have a cup of tea before I can do anything, I go downstairs and I make a cup of tea, and there before my eyes is Simply Jesus, to remind me that the only way I can get through the day is through him and through him. That sounds dramatic, doesn't it? As if getting through my day is a dramatic thing. But that's not what I mean. I mean that simply Jesus is my way. He is the way to my Father. He is the way to my God. He is the way to my life. Next word. Grace. The Hebrew for grace is that it means favour, to bend, I love this, to bend or to stoop in kindness to another as a superior to an inferior. Isn't that amazing? The Greek, which comes from the word charis, which is, I'm sure is a word you've heard, it means unmerited favour of God towards sinful men. Kindness given to someone who is undeserving. Oh. Come back to the last bit in a minute. You see, the Father's grace is exactly those two things. He stoops to us because he loves us. He stoops to us in kindness because he loves us. In Jesus, God poured out, he lavished grace upon the world. John 3:16, so many people know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He lavished grace upon the world. And Paul wrote, didn't he, in chapter 5 that we read earlier, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. What kindness. What grace. I once taught a young lady who I always, and even to this day I maintain it, she was one of the kindest people I have ever met. And actually I met her a few years ago, I met her again, and she's still the same. She's gentle, She was kind. And in her, I saw the kindness of God. I never once heard her say anything nasty to anyone. We had in that class, we had a young lady who had both physical and mental disabilities. And Jenny was so kind to her. Some of the others just used to smile. You know, they were never nasty to her. But Jenny would engage her in conversation. She would help her. She was one of the kindest people I know. And you know, that kindness was reflective of God's kindness. He comes to every single one of us, every single one of us who are sinners. He comes to us with his kindness. But it's not just kindness. You see, grace comes to us every day. We have faith in the Lord Jesus and his sacrificial death. And the Lord says to us, God says to us, you are justified, you are righteous in my sight because of Jesus. You are justified. It's a once done thing. You are justified. But grace, we need grace every day. Because I don't know about you, but as I said earlier, I don't feel very righteous. And the enemy, Satan, the number of times he will come to me and say, you are, as I said to the children, a dirty, rotten sinner. You're very bad. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Okay. You didn't help that person. You haven't phoned your sister for ages. You blah, 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 blah. Okay, it'll go on, and you'll all have your own things. But you see, Satan would blame and accuse us all the time. But God says, no, you are justified. When I see you, as Julie said in her prayer, I see Jesus and his righteousness. And when Tati spoke to us about Jesus being our mediator, we come through him to the Father. As Jesus, as Tati said, holds out his hand to lift us up to the Father. That's why he can do that, because the Father sees us and knows us as righteous. I've known Billy for a few years now, but I always remember that one of the first things Billy said to me was, and I hope I get this right, you can correct me if I don't, it's our position, not our condition. I always remembered that, because for our condition we need grace, because we are learning, we are little babies in how to be that reflection of God's love and God's grace. Because you see, the thing that grace does, it's like a circle, okay? The thing that grace does, we come to the bottom of this line, because it's not just one act of grace, but it continues throughout our lives as we struggle with sin. We go back here to justification. We don't fall off the chart just because we struggle with sin. We go back to justification. I'm just going to finish now. And when I was preparing this, something came to me which I thought, wow, I've never ever thought of that before. And I suspect everybody who's either here this morning or listening or watching know the story of the prodigal son. A story that Jesus told. When the son who left his father and went off and spent all his money, when he came back, the father welcomed him, not as a servant, but as a son, as his son. The elder son, so the older brother, couldn't understand that. He was angry. He said, how dare you do that when I've stayed here all this time? He didn't understand grace. He didn't understand the Father's love for both his children. And I thought to myself, do you know, there's more about justification and forgiveness in that story than I've ever realized. There's more grace in that story than I've ever realized. And I just would like to say to you this morning, today, if you're a Christian and you've either grown cold away from the Father's love, or you have sinned and the enemy is on your case, return again to the Father. Believe what he says about justification. Come to him through Jesus and his righteousness. He will not reject you. He will welcome you back as a son, as his child. And if you have never returned to the Father, if you're not a Christian and you're either here this morning or you're listening on Facebook or YouTube, if you have never tasted the joy of being welcomed as a son by a father who will forgive and justify you, speak to him. Learn about Jesus. Speak to someone who is a believer and receive his justification. He will not reject you, for you have been justified by faith in Jesus alone, by grace alone.